I'm waiting for members to respond. Are you happy with the agenda? No additions, no subtractions? Any proposal for adoption of the agenda? Honorable Member Tolle, and then any agenda? Honorable Member Shopee Tolle, and Honorable Member Babanga, second. Thank you very much. We're now on item number one. It is opening. Shall I open this meeting by observing a moment of silence for prayer and meditation? The honorable member, the support staff, support team, and let me also greet our guests. Today's meeting is in response to a request by the honorable member for a discussion on the work of the committee and look at ways to enhance and improve our oversight effectiveness. So as we reflect on the work of the committee, it is important that we go back and remind ourselves of the vision and the mission statement of Parliament, which speaks of an activist and a responsive people's Parliament that improves the quality of life of South Africans. A parliament that intervenes and transforms society and addresses the development challenges of our people through effective oversight over the executive by strengthening its scrutiny of actions, strengthening its scrutiny of action against the needs of South Africans and ensuring the participation of South Africans in the decision-making processes that affect their lives. Having recently passed the Division of Revenue Bill and the Appropriation Bill, the challenge before us cannot be overestimated. It is important to note that in order for South Africa to meet its critical medium-term strategic framework targets and attain radical socio-economic change, I repeat, radical socio-economic change, the country needs a far higher rate of inclusive, job-creating economic growth. It is imperative that pro-poor spending and public investment in infrastructure are maintained. However, debt service costs remain the fastest growing item of expenditure and consumes 12% of every rent, 12% of every rent and state revenue. Now, in order to sustain the social wage and avoid sharp reversals in public spending, we will need to ensure that the principles of value for money permeate the entire public service. Value for money, impact made by the service delivery with the resources that have been provided for. While there is continued emphasis on fiscal sustainability, many parts of our country face massive development challenges. In such circumstances, the issue of how to put public resources to optimal use becomes paramount. And the contribution of Parliament to sound financial governance through effective and intensified scrutiny cannot be underestimated. With these few short words, let's have a frank, robust and developmental-oriented discussion and look at a creative and meaningful way or ways in which the Standing Committee on Appropriations can positively contribute to better government spending. In these few words, I really would like to welcome you and I'm looking forward to a constructive engagement. Thank you very much. Can we then move to item number 2 and ask the Secretary to read the apology?
Good morning, Chairperson and honourable members and support staff. There's only one apology, which is a standing apology from us, and I'll move the IND.
Thank you very much. I also have received an apology from Musa, who says he will join the meeting. Now, honourable members, we accept the apology. Honourable Member
Madova. Yes, Madam Chair, we wish to propose the acceptance of the apology.
Any seconder? Well, seconded by Honourable Member Nogonya. Thank you very much. Shall we then proceed to item number 3? Review of committee's performance and reflections on the annual performance plan. Focus area. Now, the content advisor will then lead us in this by presenting to us a report on the committee settlement. So our honourable members will be to listen attentively and then at the discussion level we then focus on those key areas that we think need to be strengthened and that will assist us to take our work to new heights. Over to you, S.A.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Thank you, honourable members. Thank you, staff. Good morning to you all. Good morning to our guests as well. The intention to take too long. Oh, okay.
Okay. Now we only have a CMD official, one official. Remember, because it's not part of this, it's main government here. Okay, you may proceed.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, we have the presentation in front of us. I'll just go on to the outline. Of course, always important to start with the mandate and then the definition of oversight as it was presented even in our previous planning session, which was held in October. And then I'll identify the themes that were identified in the planning session, which actually also were inputted into our report. And then I'll assess some of the key actions that were undertaken that respond to those themes. The mandate of the committee, section 4.3 of the mandate, deals banking issues, process division of revenue bills, appropriation bills, supplemental appropriation bills, adjusted appropriation bills. Also our key partners, of course, which we always call in and who are very helpful to us, the FSC, and also reports on actual expenditure and, of course, any other related matters. Now, on the definition of oversight, there are many definitions in the scholarly literature, but this particular definition is the one I personally have support for. Behavior of legislators and their tasks individually or collectively, which result in an impact, intended or not, on bureaucratic behavior. I'll make a point, for example, when we had the Department of Public Works, the Deputy Minister was very concerned on how the EPWP program what for three emanating from the meeting we had with the AG. I am sure that from that response by the Deputy Minister and updating himself on meeting as well, discussions that they have now with the AG will never be the same discussion in terms of what entails the picked up, which is measurement of performance. So it might be a small impact, but I'm sure discussions now, even the AG himself is empowered now because they are aware that the message that they put very forward in terms of the findings now find their home in Parliament and it is elevated into the public sphere for discussion and the Deputy Minister responded as well, and I'm sure they're going to strengthen the program. So it is tougher but important impact as well. So that's an example there. And then I move on to the first theme after our planning session in health in Franschhoek from 13 to 15 October. Now the key concern there was that there was a need to align the NGSF spending priority contained in the NGSF with the return objectives of departments. And within that theme, three things that the committee highlighted were very important. The importance of us scrutinizing departmental spending priorities, whether they are aligned with the MTSF, and also the need for true interrogation and verification of department performance. And the third one was the need for continuous feedback and responses by departments on work undertaken by the committee, be it a meeting or be it an oversight process. So what are the things that that the committee has done with regard to this? On alignment with the MTSS, what came out, for example, in appropriation bill was that there are actually MTSS targets that are at risk, and the committee responded accordingly with refinements and recommended for DME and national threats to respond to us to identify the risk areas and that we should have by at least the MTBF of this year. And then in terms of through interrogation, what we're saying is that often departments come with information that we are unable to verify and validate its correctness and comprehensiveness. So what we did for this year, before we call the department, we have stakeholders who are our partners, DGME, who gave input on the MTEC and also in terms of progress on outcomes, and also at the ACSA, we also had a chief procurement officer. But whether they were helpful or not, the members can reflect on that later and reflect on the questions that were asked and the responses that were received by the executive during the engagement we had. And then continuous feedback. This one, it remains a challenge. For a lot of departments, we often do not get responses to our recommendations in reports. And what we try to do now is to, when we think at the department's back again, to also include, we ask them to include these reports in their presentation. And I'll reflect now on whether this is working or not. On the next slide, for example, we have a lot to say about funding higher education, and we need a lot of recommendations in that regard. One of those would include benchmarking higher education funding with comparable countries, which is interesting because that funding actually is from the current chairperson's statement that she made in the meeting we had while she was the portfolio chair. You see it now. And then also in this embark on a comprehensive partnership with key stakeholders, especially in the financial sector. And then also to seek assistance of AGAC to assist especially those historically disadvantaged institutions, and also to communicate with parents and students and on exactly how much this cost to fund a student in higher education. So we had all of these comments for which we had not received a comprehensive response from the department officially. But because that we called them in for the consideration of appropriations, we also asked for them to respond to these recommendations. They did include the responses. One of which is of course that there is a partnership in progress. to fund the museum in higher education, which is good, and also that there is a comprehensive communication strategy in process of being developed for the target students and parents of all aspects pertaining to higher education, and also network partnership. While this is okay, it is not enough. Because now, once you are restricted to respond to the community's recommendations in PowerPoint, you find that the information is not detailed enough, and even your responses, you respond to some recommendations, you don't respond to some. So this is a weakness, I would actually say an institutional weakness, which we just need to apply our hands, how we can get around it, because oversight is intricately linked with response. If there are no responses, it's difficult to follow through. And then there's the response on our recommendations we made for the Department of Education during the adjusted appropriation hearings we had last year. And then these are some of the responses. I highlighted specifically the first one because it's something new that they implemented emanating from what we recommended to them. For example, we emphasize the alignment and enhancement of budget planning and the infrastructure planning function. So in response to that, the department did meet with the treasurer and has introduced performance risk assessment to enhance planning and budgeting in the department. And then for the other recommendations, they just indicating that there is actually work underway that deal with enhancing data systems, development of indicators and monitoring to ensure all schools provide nutritious meals. And then what second post, of course, they did indicate that they are busy considering the organizational structure, and once the post is finalized, they should move expeditiously towards filling all second posts. So those are the responses. Also on a PowerPoint, which is a, it's not adequate. It's not adequate. And then, okay. Moving on to planning session to focus collaboration between communities of both houses. From the planning session, we indicated it's important that we have more joint hearings with other committees of both the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces. However, this has proved to be very difficult. Often there are issues with other border programs of other committees and they are not available to attend our meetings. And it's work in progress. We can also come up with on how we can make this actually work. It could be there maybe a program in place early as in now for even the next term of parliament. There's a possible suggestion there. However, we did have in response to the student funding challenge of last year, successful joint hearings with the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education and also on with the Select Committee on Appropriation, which actually was in the national sphere of debate, so it was good. And then also we sought to encourage Portfolio Committees to come to the Senior Committee on Appropriation and actually make recommendations on both allocations. So far it has not happened and we are not sure why, because the money bills that provide that other portfolio committees can approach the committee if even though they may not amend the budget, but you can impose specific conditions on a program for which you feel that there is a performance risk. And so far this has not happened. We have tried it through the staff support structures, but it has not happened. And then more regular engagement with the Finance Committee on cutting issues, which has a bearing on both revenue and expenditure issues. This is also a work in progress and hasn't been time to have this meeting take place, as both committees have been busy and what programs, full programs, week in, week out. Now that just started from last year in November, immediately the day after we had a meeting with the Select Committee on Appropriations and the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education, and we have their comments by a former chairperson there, comments of also chairperson of the Select Committee on Appropriations, and also comments there by the chairperson there of the portfolio compromisation and training on all agreeing that indeed there need to be more resources allocated to higher education. Planning session 3, proactive and visible oversight. We did want to strengthen our leadership with the AG and also track progress by departments that receive matters raised by the AGSA in management matters. We did have bearing with the AG and this was used extensively, especially this year, much more than last year in the quarterly special hearings that we had. And also, the committee talking to stakeholder other than department. And while they might not often be able to come themselves physically, as it happened of course because some of the appropriation bill and also one can say was the international budget partnership. We did have equal education, we did have AGSA as well. But they still need to do much more to invite other stakeholders, other departments. And uniquely for the senior community appropriation, which is actually a strength that we have compared to, you can say, for portfolio committees when they consider budget votes in the sense that we do not only call the national treasurer to present to our appropriation bill, but we do call a range and a number of stakeholders to give us ideas on where can we strengthen and where can we recommend according to ensure that spending does improve and the principles of efficiency, effectiveness and economy are adhered to. Regular meetings with the finance minister on major reforms. Now, arguably the most important reform in public finance in this and even in last year is the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer. For a long time it was established but we didn't hear much about it. We invited them this year and just from that meeting we elevated that office to the national sphere of importance in terms of what they can do. And I'll just show you a clip now. This was in the news immediately the day after we had the meeting with the Chief Procurement Officer. And this issue is still under, there's ongoing discussions on this. The tender for correctional services, there's ongoing discussions, but the important thing to learn from this is that the platform of Parliament did provide impetus to the work of the Chief Procurement Officer to validate that what they're doing is important and indeed the state is serious about finding value for money. Planning session 4, broadening public participation. So far in consideration of the MTDTS Assessed Appropriation Bill, Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, Division of Revenue Bill 2016 and the Appropriation Bill 2016. Every time what is done, we have invited input through newspapers, through local radio stations, as well in all 11 official languages. Yes. And input is, public input generally, it's difficult to ascertain why we don't get as much as we would want to. But at least the initiative is on our way. We are putting a message out there that we are going to see the really important money deals. Meetings of the group to get more media coverage, need to issue more press statements, for example. And I can just comment now, presence of the always present media officer in our meeting, so that would help. And then a major, very big innovation that we did this year. In partnership with the International Party Partnership and Code for SA, the same incontinental operation had an online tool, which was on all the major news sites, SABC News 24, IL, Times Live, and so on, and also TMG as well. which invited the public to make inputs, and I'll show you now how they look like. And we received 204 submissions from this. And that's how the tool looked like, where online you could send your comments on a budget directly to the Standing Commission Appropriations. This was the first for South Africa, first for Africa as well. And it's, we received 204 submissions on significant budget increases and decreases, and sought for public opinions on that. What we found was that mostly from the input that we received, they were in support of funding higher education and also in support of social grants. And they were also in support of less allocation to state-owned companies and public entities. And for social grants, it's interesting just from a face value analysis, because online would normally be your urban middle class demographic. So it shows a perception on what how social grants contribute to the economy general is positive. On scene 5, power conferred to the committee through the Money Bills Act. There was an agreement from the planning session that there is need for a comprehensive review of the current budgetary framework and strengthen the budgetary role of Parliament. This initiative, it does need all four committees to focus on the Act. It would logically involve changing the Act itself at some point in the future. And then, in addition, there was the point raised that the committee should seek to focus more, as often it happens that we get so absorbed in the current spending patterns and current challenges faced at the time that we do not pause to judge as a sort of first issue of what will be happening 1 year, 2 years, 3 years from now. So how will the state is, the committee does tend to be busy meetings every week, and often there isn't time to allocate meetings for executives. But even that, in the stages of the budget process, budget formulation and budget execution is being undertaken now by the executive. They are meeting, they are doing one-man, they are doing all sorts of, a whole lot of work that will transpire in what will come with to Parliament later, which is the MTBTS. It does not prevent the committee from doing a similar undertaking, especially utilizing our partners who have indicated in the past two planning sessions that whether they are willing to assist. An example would be, we know for the MTBTS in October 2016, we are going to have HSRC, TSC, IDT, FARI, and so on. There's nothing to prevent us from issuing the invite now. That when they do come, it's through 3 years, 4 months of research process, so that by the time the NCCS comes, we can have, an example would be the size of the budget review. You can have a similar thick document containing only Standing Committee Appropriations recommendations emanating from the research work undertaken by all our partners as proposals to the executive. And then the last one that is on, it's also on to focus on government future policy choices, which is the reason why we called in the Chief Procurement Officer, because there was no, it was not for expenditure hearing purposes or bill consideration, but what was for us to get on board in terms of some of the bigger major budget reforms being undertaken. Planning session D6, responsiveness of the executive to committee recommendations. This one does remain generally a weakness. One of the first things they highlighted is that linear department delegations, this I must say in all the meetings we held so far was communicated quite strongly that we do not want large delegations to come to the committee. And then in terms of responses and for us to follow up in terms of recommendations and requests made by the committee through committee reports adopted by the House, it still remains a challenge. And responses received through PowerPoint not comprehensive enough. And at times, not even, for example, for the Common Affairs, we have asked them when they reviewed their grant frameworks to not only work with the Treasury, but to work with the SSE as well. When we saw them now in May, and recommendations were made last year in October, they have not yet met with SSE. So we emphasized the message of partnership unto the executive, but it showed that the pickup on what we believe can help often is not at the level that we wish for it to be. I'll comment on the ATP and that division as outlined in the chairperson's opening remarks, which is it's actually very powerful, the vision and mission statement of Parliament. I just request all honourable members to leave the PowerPoint and then we go to the physical document of the ATP. Then I'll quickly highlight our points to the professor.
I'd like to find out from the honourable members, are you happy with this? Do you want us to proceed to the next presentation? Or should we engage with the first presentation and then move to the ATP presentation? But I'm sure... I'm sure you can then advise on whether the two are linked.
Yeah.
So they're linked. Yeah. So you think it should be good that we...
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, okay. Are honourable members comfortable with this approach? Okay. Mm-hmm. You may proceed.
For the ACP, I'll just request to quickly go down to the most important part, which is actually the indicators and not what we've done for quarter one. And then go to page 12. So on page 12 at the bottom, it just contains the page. Okay, we can go to page 13. And then, just specifically the indicators in terms of what we've done. For the first quarter, okay, there is the indicator which responds to. If you just went up quickly to page 12, it responds to the first strategic goal of Parliament and enhancing Parliament's oversight and accountability over the work of the executive to ensure implementation of the MGSF. Now, if you go down again to page 13 right on top, it has some key steps of the committee, bill process for quota 1, appropriation bill, number of meetings held is 16, number of money bill reports is 1. Percentage of bills crossed within deadlines, 100%. Now we come to the important ones. The important ones which I'll highlight in red. Last year, what we agreed to in the planning session was that we do not want to see and process deals for the sake of just doing it for compliance. We want to see actual value.
Okay. Colleagues, I just have them to talk about this. And there's only black here, sorry.
You see the red now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 No, I didn't want to highlight this in your document. It makes it untied. I just highlighted it here. So, I talked of the bills, number of meetings, and the some of it is considered that is by its specific process within some lines done. Now the important ones is that we want to see and do the report charts for the sake of thing. We want to see, to be able to see what actually did we do. accelerating economic growth. What we do about it? We only had one formal report considered for the first quarter of this year. We did make some strong recommendations to Department of Small Business Development, which it's very significant. In our deliberations and with the Department of Small Business Development, when the question was asked to the department, do you have a partnership with the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer? The response there to that then was that no, only in terms of our own procurement plan. But we changed that. We said no, no, it should extend much more beyond that. Because they are engaging a number of suppliers, they interact with suppliers, we should be able to access that resource, that capacity as well. So that's our take on how do we accelerate economic growth as we want to see small businesses succeed. Similarly, you can also argue it's sort of difficult to entangle the two, transforming the economy, affecting the economic growth. We did speak of a partnership which, from my reading of the response then to the chairperson, question on are you linking with public works? At least they are thinking about it now. They are recognizing it's an important partnership, something important and valuable to do. A recommendation on spending reforms. We did speak to each WP, especially how it applies. When the Deputy Minister of Public was in the meeting we had with the Department of Public Works, there was an indication that in a lot of instances, the EPW program and how the jobs are actually allocated can lead to some challenges and problems. And then there are best practices within some of the metros. And we did recommend that these efforts be transferred nationally. One being, for example, as the Minister and Deputy Minister in the meeting then, sort of a law reform who exactly qualifies for this job. So that we can further deliberate on that during discussion time. And then leaving that, and then proactive and visible oversight. For the listing, we did have three departments. We did engage, if you go to page 13, then we leave, go to page 14. Right on top, we did meet with the AG. There was a press statement issued, only one for this quota that I know of, which is not good. I just highlighted, it's not good. And then, okay, we have not had an oversight for this. And so far, the recommendations we've made have been accepted. And then when you go down, okay. And then now proactive research assignments, requested from stakeholders. This one, we are going to make a proposal for today. For the time that honorable members are not here during this time, we should be able to assign us to parliamentary party office, society and others as well on key work that we'd like to see them complete that will be ready for us by August. And then, okay, the ones that were highlighted red, also the indicators that matter. Now, enhanced expenditure performance assessment. What we want to see, which is also an issue from the side of the committee, is that whoever is invited to the Spending Committee on Appropriation, there should be a difference in terms of how you spend and use make use of resources allocated to you. For example, department divided by what is playing successful cost containment. In all the presentations we've received so far, they indicate they will be invited on these matters, public works, human settlement, small business development, higher education as well. But for us to ascertain that, it means we need to monitor this, which is through request for reports every quarter, and also through when we ask to call them back again, be it for the next round of expenditure years or for the MTBDS or adjustment process. So for now, the commitment is there. The important thing to do is to follow up. And then for going down to page 15, compliance with procurement, legislative environment. In the AG report, it's always a challenge. SGM findings with a lot of departments, but they should have the process when the department has come to the senior committee appropriations. These, I mean, they should be minimized. And that's what we want to apply to 100% of our of all departments that we see. And also the attainment of tasks as well. All departments that are committing, there should be a reduction in them not achieving performance target and yet spending all the budget allocated to them. And also similarly it applies to those departments divided by SCOA for should be able to attain clean orders as shown by the commitment and actually the message passed on, for example, Department of Public Works. So that will also be monitored. And also all departments, if I want to with critical vacancies still. So all departments that have been for the message out there, it should be that all critical vacancies should be filled. So that's an efficient target for us, which will require, of course, also to be monitored. Okay, and then we can move on to page, the next page, which is table 3, public involvement. Okay, to facilitate public participation, it was also touched on in the presentation. Yes, we have had briefings from various stakeholders for quota 1, it is 4, and then number of stakeholders actively maintained in the database, which is what we, when we have these major milestones, data appropriate division of revenue, in return we are sending out to our partners, stakeholders, so we do maintain a database of that. And then to table 4, capacity enhancement meetings. We do have one scheduled for the quota 3. Normally, just before we consider the NTDF and the assessment. And then also around that time, we will have our planning session then. And then the last one, which is parliamentary international engagement. We can invite an international delegation come and process, although we only scheduled one from there. And we envisage at least a minimum of best practice for at a minimum that will emanate from those engagements. And that ends the ACP. And yeah, then we can talk about it. Thank you so much, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members, for your time. Thank you.
Honorable members, you listened to the two presentations, one on the assessment of the performance of the country using the SAR plan as our springboard, but also the ATP and the progress made with regard to implementation of our strategic objectives on the ATP. I will now open for discussion. Are there any clarity-seeking questions? Okay, you know what I'm doing. Okay, let's go to the very first document that was presented to us from the assessment. Page 2. Any clarity on page 2 or any comments? But this one is not so easy. Talks about your defining our, who we are and our role. Shall we move to page 3? On theme 1, which is alignment of strategic training session held, okay, alignment of spending priorities with the medium term strategy framework. Honorable member,
thank you, Honorable Chair.
If I just take us back to slide number 3 on the mandate.
So it's in slide number 2, right?
It's on page 2.
On the slide.
On page 2,
yeah. Slide number 2, right. Slide number 3.
And it's right then, just to show you to the last slide in this piece of presentation, which is number 18, and it says conclusion. It's really important to be there to say the oversight of public finances is one of the most important roles Parliament performs on behalf of our citizens itself. Where are the appropriations committee? We're a standing committee, we're not a portfolio committee, so we have a slightly different structure within the setup. We can't just be disbanded if we don't like us. We have to be there with a creature statute. But now, it seems to me that in a sense our role is a little bit blurred, because we have the Auditor General, whose function is very much similar to ours in a way, because he has also an oversight function. He goes and he checks the books of accounts, and he does a performance assessment and a financial assessment, and sees that the people meeting their targets, and he produces a report. By virtue of his measure, that has to be a historic report. That happened after the event. And then we also have SCOPA, the Standing Committee on Public Accounts, which does a similar sort of function as well. They also have a look at how departments have performed. And I just feel that we need to distinguish ourselves so that we don't sort of get lost in this milieu of different departments all trying to do the same thing in a sense. And that's why I'd like, when we think about our mandate, can we put something in there that specifically distinguishes us from our sister departments or committees like SCOPA and the Auditor General, there's a Standing Committee on Auditor General as well. Because I think our functioning needs to be a little more on, how can I put it, we must be coming off the fact all the time. I think you heard me say before, my esteemed colleague over the table here, Honourable Shorts at all, always said, we follow the money. And my complaint is that by the time we get there, the money's gone. We should have led the money. We should have been out front saying, here's the money. This is, we have to dish out the money, not to follow up with to find out, so what did you do with the money you got? So it's a slightly different shift, or a shift in emphasis, that the first thing I feel is more our function. I've done back a bit more, but I'll leave it at that now. I'll come back in on further slides if I may. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your input. I think we must take all the input. Let me take about 5, and then we allow the team, the support staff that is here, to provide a response to the issues raised by the honourable members. But also the honourable members, I'm sure on our own, we cannot engage on these issues. And over to you. You will then be closed by Dr. Kitty.
Lord Chair, first I want to agree with the Honourable Councilman that the point that Commissioner always always made, and all of these members of the committee really emphasize this point that we follow the money. I think that it should be highlighted as one of the key demands. But I think that where we might have a challenge is that we are not necessarily tasked to look at the annual performance plan of all departments ahead of the budget and so on. And perhaps that is where our limitation might be. And that leads us to following the money, as we always say, rather than saying, we want to see what is in your ADPs, what are your pre-term targets, how have you budgeted, or how you plan to budget for all of these things. And then at the end of the first quarter, we say, we met you, we discussed these things, you showed us what you plan to do, you showed us your proposed budget, let's see what you have done. I don't know whether that's the task that we could perform. I suppose it becomes a big it might be a task that we might not be able to accomplish. Except to say that perhaps it could come in difficult possible at the level of sharing this kind of information with the portfolio committee, because that's where all of the agencies are heading. What it then means is that we must find a better way of following the money, as the members always say. Perhaps when we meet the department in having received the first quarter report from the National Trust, and we meet the department, so that we identify, we look at that and look at the plan. What we need to be able to do then, as we look into the second quarter report, is to alert departments ahead and say, we are going to see it. We met you at the end of the first quarter, and we have received the first quarter report. This is what you showed us. These are the shortcomings. When you come back to report to us, we don't want to see a repeat of what we saw in the first quarter. So show us progress. Where there has not been any progress, don't tell us why there has been no progress. Tell us what are you doing to address this thing. Because there are repeat departments, repeat offenders in understanding, very few understanding, but there are repeat offenders in understanding. There are repeat offenders in showing a high expenditure and a low achievement of predetermined targets, which is often not quite easy to explain why if we say we have spent 95% of our budget, but we have achieved 43 targets. So I think we need to tighten that kind of our engagement a lot better. That's one, but secondly, we must find a way of sharing the information that we get from the department with the portfolio committee, specifically relating to the expenditure budget. Because what happens is that because portfolio committees are more focused on policy implementation, and therefore they concentrate on the ADP and the performance of the department over a period of time. The tendency of the department is to only come with the nice rating document with very, very scant figures at all. And so because we have the advantage of having to demand the figures from the department in terms of their performance, we must find a way of sharing that information so that the policy implementation, which is the focus area of the portfolio committee, addresses also the question of funding of that implementation of policy. Because the budget is about implementing policy for government. But where you see the department saying we have implemented the policy up to this far, but they don't tell you what they have spent in implementing policy. Because that's what they do to the control committee. If we then are able to have a way of sharing that information, so that when we ask these questions and we follow the money, the portfolio committees are also able to say, but when is the budget here and how have you achieved over time your target? We had a discussion with the sector and we toyed around with the idea of creating a, I don't know what you call it, the IT firm, something that when you report it on like website, if somebody sits on that website, he can get it or she can get the information. But perhaps it should be able to become that kind of website or portal. I don't know how you call it. That without meeting with the portfolio committees or without necessarily inviting them, they can tap into that information. And they are better informed on how the budget of the department has been utilized in policy implementation in the course of the year. So that's what I think we need to, because we have limitations in terms of parliamentary programs. We cannot always be able to get the committee to come to our meeting as we would like. It happens sometimes we say. That's one on the issue. On slide, it's on the same page, that last bullet, on the response by departments and stages on the work undertaking, etc. and so on. I think that the one area that we must strengthen is oversight on the agency, and in particular the state owned enterprise. The state owned enterprise. I think we have only met CRAPA so far, which is a CRAPA. I cannot recall any other state-owned enterprise that we have met and have looked at what we are doing. Yes, they are very critical. They play a very critical role, particularly in the area of economic development, but we can expand on that issue because we might not necessarily want to meet them in isolation ourselves. We might want to talk in our portfolio committee. We might want to talk in, for instance, in the Department of Small Business Development, the Department of Economic Development, together with the portfolio committee, to deal with the question of their role in the area mentioned in the course presented on economic development. But we can talk about the point I'm making is that we haven't really created space to have a look at the several issues and other issues which are very vital. And I raise this issue because the just like the fact that, that all of us are worried about economic development, we are worried about job creation, etc. and so on. The more people you get onto the jobs, the more money gets into the pickup, and the more spending space is created for government. And that's where we come in.
Thank you for your input, Honorable Zorase. I will now call upon Honorable Zohar.
Yes, Chair, I'm alone. Yes, thank you. I just have a slightly different view on the condo money issue. I believe that we should be coming at the money free too. And I think that that should be our own. There was a concern raised by Honorable Bofaza here that we can do in terms of the mandate. Now, I believe that, that we are covered because if you look at the mandate, it says that we need to report on spending issues. And then the last bullet point there is any other related matters. I just want to make sure, we just can see where I'm coming from to see if it's indicated that we do, you know, we are in line with the legislation. And then if, and I know, Honorable Chair, that you spoke about the PowerPoint presentation, but I'm just looking at the APP at page 5, it says, the appropriation access out of appropriate money from the National Revenue Fund for the requirement of the state and to prescribe conditions for the spending of funds withdrawn. So I believe that as this committee, we should be involved, obviously not necessarily directly, but as to whether the money or money that is spent on projects, that the cost of that project is reasonable. So it's not only about meeting targets, because we would never know unless we do an investigation as to whether a certain project, for example, a school, whether it should actually cost 8 million or whether it should cost 30 million. So by appropriating funds which a department has requested for one school at 8 million might not necessarily be the reasonable cost for that particular school. So therefore I believe that that should be the task of this very important committee before the funds are spent, because as my colleague said, it's chasing money, it's too late because the money's gone, the people are gone. We've been saying that for 2 years now. We have not put or identified one piece. So we need to really look at what our role is and what value we can add to as parliamentarians, as members of parliament. And but I'm saying that there are important projects that are coming up, for example, there's your nuclear power station, there's a jet for the president. Now it's important that somebody, and I'm not saying that we must do work of other people, that money is going to be appropriated, this department or this committee, and the committee needs to approve and recommend to Parliament whether the funds are should be appropriated. And by just accepting or receiving a quest and agreeing because it has come to this committee, I think it's been rejected without knowing whether the cost is actually a reasonable cost. That is why I think this committee should play a more important role in determining whether the funds are used efficiently, effectively, and economically.
Thank you, Dr. Fit. Any other comments? In the absence of more comments, or yes, Honorable Member Shope Sitole.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity to speak. And I just want to thank you profusely for your political input, because it was important. you raised quite a number of important issues on oversight, radical economic change and other things. But I just want to say it is my belief that unless we do more work visiting the outskirts, the rural places. We only tell ourselves that we are involving communities, but we are only involving the rich. You know, the biggest economic growth today in America is about the economy being run by the 1% and the 9%. If you follow them, you see that it is the biggest debate in economy, the 10% and the 9%. So we are moving, we are transforming, but who actually influences change? Is it the rich, the elite, or the people of South Africa? So I would like to suggest that we must take our country to the outskirts of the country, where people cannot have the money to come and use their input in this community. A lot of people who are coming here are the people who have got the money to buy an iPad and actually communicate with us. But those who have left in this country will never be able to use their wide input. It does not mean that if a person is not educated, if a person is not rich, that person is not thinking. Actually, Professor Joe Stephen actually says that the reason we find ourselves in an economic crisis today is because of the arrogance of the economists and the anger. You know, talking to themselves in boredom and ignoring any other input from other professionals. That is why we have got an economy meltdown today. So I would suggest that we seriously consider doing community work in the whole of the country, not just in bottom checking. You know, effective oversight, there is just no way on Mother Earth that we can ever say to be doing effective, the adjective effective, unless we go on its own part. You know, when I spent 15 years in the province, and we used to go on, and we used to find things, you know, things that were different from what we saw on paper. And I found that the new culture is bigger. That people like, maybe I don't know if it's because of the business and the tea or what, we like to keep ourselves here and we believe, we have started believing in every school we are missing, the papers that people give to us. The professor has been talking about the King of Jesus, says, data. You must take data because data is not enough. The data that people bring here might be influenced by other things. So, I don't like this thing. In data. I want us to actually go on the spot and check the projects that we do are going on. I will come to the last one that was raised by my colleague about following the money. I did not know that I was so much misunderstood for such a long time. And I will actually remind you when I said it was during a visit by the Department of Trade and Industry. They gave us figures and they asked about how they spend the money. The respondent told us that some money was transferred to the SOE. I said, I'm worried. How exactly to follow the money? Because I even said we are not going to appropriate money and go on a summary that is worth it. We are responsible for the appropriation of money. And after appropriation, we need to check whether that money is doing what Honorable Fitzgerald is doing. Because it's one thing to say, oh, how much do you need? They say, 10 grand, you give them 10 grand. You don't even know whether they actually underestimated, they actually did the money. You don't even know whether they actually did the poorer
You know, that is what I was saying. The other, your other concern, Honorable McLeod, you raised the question of the other committees like COPA, like Portfolio Committee, like the same committee from the Auditor General. Fortunately for me, I've served in several Portfolio Committees, but I've also served for maybe 16 years on COPA, and I've served for 5 years on the same committee on the Auditor General. So the mandates are very clear. The mandates are very clear. COPA is responsible for dealing with an account only after the report of the audit item. And you have some of your own. After the report of the Auditor General, and after reading the report of the Auditor General, this is what they do. They look at an authorized event. They have got the option of being convinced to authorize or to refuse to authorize. And they can also recommend saying that is proper. But the same committee on the Auditor General is not dealing with the department. It is doing overseeing the performance of the Auditor General. Period. Not all of the other things. And that's where it is. And also the Auditor General himself is not in the committee. It is a support institution for us, like the office of the one that you like everyone to public project. It's the same. It's over chapter in that kind of institution. So they are not contributing. Our task is very clear. Thank you.
Thank you for all the intervention. We would like to have a second mic.
The point that we have to clear ourselves about is, at what point do we see what the department has led to do? And can we practically do that? And I'll say, I don't know whether it's practically possible to make the department to say what to do. I have a problem. Lastly, because the party we don't necessarily get involved also with the last step of the Civil Act process. We come in at problem at the same end when we must deal with the end. So, I was saying maybe we must find a way of getting the information beforehand without necessarily meeting the department. We could just as well ask them to submit in writing their annual plan. But then to say we want to see how they have spent their budget, so that we don't just see the annual plan that has not yet. That's the kind of information you can request from them. So that we are then pre-informed as we begin the process of looking at the quarterly expenditure report. Because then it makes sense then to follow the money. Because we follow the money we have seen in their plan. We follow the money that you would have heard the finance minister saying in February, I'm allocating this amount of money to this department. And then follow our own process. But to think that we can meet the department in the same manner as the portfolio committee is doing over the annual plan, I think is practically wrong. So I don't think that we are differing on our negotiation. The point I was making is that that's part of our way of meeting the department as the portfolio is doing. Is almost impossible. But getting that kind of information beforehand, before we start the process of looking at quarterly performance, is what we call it intent to and read through that information. And if it meets at a committee without them, process that information and prepare ourselves for a more informed engagement.
Looking at the quarterly report. Okay, and we have reached a stage where some of the issues that you raised are responded, and then we take another round before we forget. You've raised very important issues. I think they do deserve attention, and shall we respond to some of the issues that were raised, but maybe you could also start from this one, on the process to be followed before we do the extra oversight over the quarterly report.
Okay. Please allow me to spend 15 seconds, then I won't come back again. Honorable Gobada is right, we saying the same thing. And that's exactly my point, is that if we have the grant and you see, if the Minister of Finance says that you're allowed to spend a million, then anybody that's got a million to spend, they'll spend it irrespective of what they're going to spend on. But if we know what they're going to spend on, and that was my point, so that we could see that they're spending it on five cars, then we know fine, we expect to see five cars at X amount. So you can try to be saying the same thing. I just want to clarify that and to say that, yes, wasn't this plain and clean. I'm saying we can do it. Thank you.
I think the issue here is that oversight over the department. We only look at the Section 32 reports that are prescribed by the TFMA, and without actually knowing what were the plans and how the budget was linked to those plans. So the issue is how can we ensure that we get that information before we actually consider the Section 32 report, because the Section 32 report comes straight from the National Government's office without the committee having had an engagement with the committee that has planned for those reports. So I don't know, let's find an amicable way of dealing with this letter so that members are, you know, they are happy and they are able to engage meaningfully from an informed position in terms of the plan by the department, and then the reports that come from the National Treasury. Do you want to come in? Okay, honorable. I thought we are moving, because we need to move and then we take another round. Otherwise we're going to forget it. And the more we pile this issue, the more we... But it's all right. Let's take honorable member, Manana, but please allow me to now move to get the responses. I'll come back to you again. All right. Honorable member, Manana.
What I wanted to say is that when departments submit their annual report to different portfolio committees, it means those reports are in Parliament. So this committee, I think, I don't know where are they going to have that information from, but I think it's easy because the information is already with Parliament. Where we can get this annual report as this committee, when we are comparing the spending and the spending of each and every department with the report from Treasury, we can look at the annual report, the ATP. In fact, we said we are going to do this in this quarter. It is possible that we have managed to achieve this thing at this point. I think we can get a way to find out this information from Paris.
Honorable Member Manana has come up with a possible solution. Let's look at other solutions to this letter. Over to the support staff table. Let's start with this very one. That sounds like it's a standing issue.
Okay.
And it's aimed at strengthening us in our oversight function. Here we're talking about the possibility of us getting information on the plans of the department before we engage with their quarterly report that come from National Treasury. But also it's also using your Auditor General's report as a yard his treasure performance.
Okay. Two things that are linked to the last question. The first one is, if you, the last, take the last bullet on the slide, how to get comprehensive information on performance without necessarily seeing the department, which is also from information that would be submitted to the SICAP office, AG report, and any other information, because it's also work done by other state institutions, be it Public Protector, be it Human Rights Commission, be it all of the Chapter 9 institutions. The interview is being done, it gets disseminated to the public, but often it does not end up here where it has become quite useful. Now, before I respond to the question, I think, if you don't mind, with respect, just to ask back to the members, for the quarterly expenditure year, what we did have is the I'll just go back to slide 6 of the presentation. Yes, the PowerPoint. Before we saw any of the departments, we did see a number of people. We did see the AG, we did see TPME, they briefed us on the MPEG, they briefed us on outcomes, we did see the Chief Procurement Officer. Is it possible we need to add on top of this? That is that the sense that over and above information, which actually was useful, because when the department came, for example, education, they had a comprehensive addressing all the issues that would be potential questions from members, because they had insight on things it had busy before, on AG performance, on school infrastructure, so they prepared up and they responded to that. You find that even they were so prepared, we had any question that members were to ask was already prepared for. But of course, I'm sure the normal thing, what more can they do? We'd like also to see on top of that information, ATPs of the department and also reports done by other portfolio committees. Then you would have the committee department, they have sort of a file, one can say, file of information upon each department. That I suggest that I'm saying the members are looking for. That's the first one. Now, the second one, on okay, but the second one is how we track progress without necessarily seeing the department. Okay, if you just give me, I just wanna show something quickly here.
If I
Okay. The second one is how do we track progress without necessarily seeing the department? If I can take you back to the physical copy now of the ACC, and you are to go to page 15.
Page 15?
Yes. Now, if you are to observe those indicators that say that we want each of the departments that we see comply with SCL, achieving performance targets, achieving clean audits and seal vacancies. Those are the key indicators we want to track, but are we going to track them because we're going to re-invite the department again in order the same department? Possibly not, because we've seen small development and we've seen higher education. It's possible that only in August we'd like to see maybe the Department of Police, or we'd like to see Department of Trade and Industry or other. So what this entails is that two directors that we've seen them and we want to make sure that each department that has met the same commission appropriation at least adheres to these principles. It would entail that every quarter a message communication would be sent out from the support staff, each of the departments, to indicate how far are they, because they have committed already in the hearing system that they're going to comply with this provision. Now that information will be brought into the committee and shared with the committee or that. And if there are any significant deviations, it would warrant an immediate invite for that particular department.
And are you following? Apparently, there has always been a way of providing members with information from these different stakeholders. So AFSA, Treasury, General's Office, you said all of that.
Yeah.
But today, the issue is, what are the chances of the committee seeing the 18 of the admin? So that they don't just follow the extension, some know me as well. How can we then see in the capacity to certify members? Because if we strengthen them more, you can strengthen them in the past by providing them information, but I think it's only this gap that needs to be planned. Now, there was also a proposal coming from honorable members about to say, maybe we should ask all the departments to submit their APCs. Now, they can submit them and then you see them. Now, say we call the Department of Education, Higher Education Training. At that time, you can then have the contract member. Analyze it. Yeah? You can recommend the trained member. Analyze it at that particular time, because we can't analyze all of it. Because from where we see, there's 40 departments, what possible that you can meet 40 departments in one financial year? But from what I'm seeing, I'm sure we can prioritize. Say, this year we will focus on these ones, but help us not just say which one. And then we will then be a good, strong motivation by these ones. For instance, I'm just thinking of a particular example like this one. Higher education, it's a hot project. And it is
internationally, everybody is internationally focusing on it. We then warrant each to be prioritized. I'm giving a practical example. So if we then say we are going to have 10 departments that are going to focus on this current financial year, then higher education, I'm trying to see if there must be a good motivation why this one should come, should be prioritized this year. And then next year, we then prioritize other departments. But if there is a need for a follow-up on another department that comes from this year, we can then take it off and include it there because there is a need that we follow on it closely, so that until it is serviced properly.
process until we feel we are satisfied that they are now up and running and their expenditure is balancing. Then we can lend it out. But what will be key is that we are only left with 2 years now. I want us to be sensitive to it. We're just starting the term. So that's why it should be very important that we carefully apply our mind on which department we really want to focus on. And if we can want to do all of them, I can assure you, we will make an impact. We want to make an impact in the remaining 2 years. Make sure that those departments deliver on their targets, but also their expenditure balances in their performance. Until we are now reading from the same page.
Yes.
Okay. So that is the issue there. All getting all the APTs. But if members need those APTs, they can say so. You can circulate all those APTs to all the members. The APTs. But if then they're going to have a meeting, the prioritized department, you will then look at it, analyze it, and send that analysis to members, and you can then engage again, moving from an informed position. Okay, Honourable Member Madopa.
No, thanks, Honourable Chair. Thanks for your input in the beginning. I take it as a political overview guiding us as a committee. We appreciate that, Chair. I'm not sure. I think also I want to congratulate the staff. They came up with a good presentation. They started with our mandate as a committee. When we look at the mandate as a committee, I think this is the mandate as it is appearing on the presentation. I understand what the colleagues are saying, but I don't get it well, Chair. Because you've got portfolio committees, they have got their task to look at how the departments are performing, also not only performing around the issue of following the expenditure we are saying is our mandate here. My understanding is that our mandate, as they correctly indicated, is to focus whether the departments are aligning their predetermined objectives with the medium-term strategic framework, as well as MDP, because this is the priority of the government. So whichever department must plan around those medium-term strategic framework as well as national development plan. That is understanding. So when they come here, it's also our task whether those funds are being spent on the correct priority of the government. Secondly, we talk about bail for money that must follow as a standing committee on appropriation. Are the presentations that are coming here, is government paying bail for money for what is being reported here? So it talks to the products produced. When we are talking about bail for money, products produced, is it of quality and in line with predetermined objectives? This is what we have to look at this committee. But if we are saying we want APTs and so on, it's for the portfolio committee to deal with it. What is important for us in those APTs is the predetermined objectives. Because when we say we follow the money, we look, when we do presentation, we look at the predetermined objectives. This was the plan. This was the target. When we look at it, we look at predetermined objectives. As you are correctly indicating, say, if you are saying we want all the APTs, I think we'll end up in diverting our focus really. Because what is important for us is the priorities of the government, is predetermined objectives of the government, is the project that is coming, whether it's very common that we have to look at going forward. And in our assistance to that, we have got a DPME. Let's also come and do the report and tell us, they came to us and say, no, you know, at the moment now, they are achieving, they are aligning the medium-term strategic framework. They come before we call the department. So the report that came here from the DMA was indicating to say that Now we have got the shortfall of information here. You must follow this. You know, we look at their feet, the line of the feet, they are in line with the priorities of government. You know, and then also we have got a commission. They came with good information to empower us to focus on the mandate that we are giving to this, to say that whatever you are doing, remember that this is your mandate. Whatever we do within this particular mandate. I'm not sure about, because it is true that Honorable Manana was saying, APP, after it is out, it's an asset of the parliament. If we want any thing before we deliver it, we can say to the staff, can you throw that APP for that department? And then we look at it whether whatever they are doing is in line. Rather than saying we call all the APPs and CPM, you know, the department, it's plenty. I think what you were saying to say, maybe we need to target. It's correct, that one. To say, if we need APPs, we must target the department. We must just say when we look at the report from DME, National Treasurer, you know, what is that, this commission, the other one? Yes. FSC, Financial Commission. They give the recommendation based also on the predetermined objective and what was the product, is it in line. I think that I tend to agree with the say honorable people. Second advice, we have information now at disposal. Because when you are saying you follow the command, how do you follow if you don't know the predetermined? When they give the report, they come with a predetermined objective. This is what the agency is saying. So I agree with you that we need to target when we go forward, not all the time, because this department will change. We can't just say, we take to this department, we need their APC. You know? All from time to time, we say, we need water and sanitation. There is a problem.
And remember, my doctor, you've made the point. And indeed, I think it was clear. We actually are saying one and the same thing, but putting it differently. There is already wealth of information that we can check from to strengthen our oversight. When we say we want members or the department's entities, let me tell you what we want to look at in those entities. We want to look at a strategic objective. Some of them. They'll have a vision, a mission statement, and then they will develop strategic objectives. Now, in those strategic objectives, what we will also want to see is alignment with government priorities. And then the budget following just that, you know, linking with government priorities. And in their implementation, our main interest here would be, have they spent the money correctly? Have they overspent or have they underspent? And have they addressed those strategic objectives? Yes? And they have planned them quarterly. So we look at the first quarter, if they said this quarter, this is what we are going to do. Then we look at whether they've done that, and there has been an economic use as prescribed by the TFMA of the budget, or whether there has been fruitless expenditure, and whether there has been wasteful expenditure. So those are the issues that we will be looking at, and then consolidated view and major recommendations. So, if we can, from this discussion here, my conclusion. We already have the information that we want. Those strategic objectives that we're dealing with, they are extracted from those APTs. And those APTs are about those strategic objectives. So that information we already have. But to be honest, if you want to be reminded on something, remember we've got even two researchers here. Say as you prepare, he gives you the analysis of that report that comes from the National Treasury. Because his assignment or his key responsibility is to analyze and advise us. Am I right, sir? You analyze that information that comes from National Treasury. working together with the research, you analyze, you yourself, you debate until, and then you send that quality product to us to use, to interrogate the report that will be ready for us. Yeah, this one, I think it concludes itself. We already have that information. Agree? Shall we then move on to the other issues? I really wanted this one ironed out so that we move from the same way we've been talking about Dr. Pete. Can you see, we already have that information. It's not that we did not talk ABT, we were speaking strategic objectives. But those strategic objectives actually come from the ABT. Maybe the issue that we must then agree upon is how do we then identify those areas of focus? And when I say areas of focus, I'm talking about department that we want to focus on in this remaining, because this is a financial year, in this remaining month of the financial year. Which are those departments? So that then we start focusing now on those and we ask that for that information, start preparing ourselves so that when they come here, we really give them a big show. You know? As they come here, they must know next time that, that committee. You know, when you go there, you must really be prepared and you must do your work. Alright? I don't know, do you agree with me to say, maybe we can then now focus on those ones. Which ones? So that then are able to start looking for that information. And how many do we think we can do? Because then we must also be updated as members. Yeah? To do the work. Remember, we're employed 24/7. So in position, we can stay here for 3 years and we don't do the work. As long as at the end there will be somebody told about it. Also for us, we must not just say there must be value for money from the department, but there must also be value for money from our way. And there must be an impact in order to do it. Right? We agree that we then identify those departments that we want. Or must we allow the staff members to go and look, research, and check on those departments that really need engagement by us, because it's departments that are not just underperforming. Those we want here.
Yeah.
Those are our issues with the government. Those that are underperforming in terms of financial management or governance issues. So we want to help people, we want to lead them to another level. Okay. So, alright. There's a hand here. Honourable Member my daughter.
No, thanks, Honourable Chair. No, I think, Honourable Chair, we must leave it to the researchers and the staff. Because when we call them, we don't just call them, they are correctly indicated. We look at our mandate and also what they have said, their objectives, and see those that are not performing well and call them. They have once done it to the researchers. They came up with a 5-year, you know, performance of them, analyzing them. Maybe you can leave to them and then they come there to say, these are the departments that are lacking behind around the issue of the performance, even under expenditure, as you correctly indicated, also and not spending the money correctly, and the project that they produce is not what is the priority of the government.
Honourable Member Shoppe Stole.
Thank you, Chair, for remembering. I'd like to add or to differ from Honorable Matov. I would like us to make sure that the Department of Trade and Industry and the Department of Small Business are under our watchful eye. The reason I'm saying that is that we have got this situation of lack of growth in the economy. And as this appropriation committee, we must be aligned to our fiscal and financial situation in the country. And also, we have got a challenge as a country of poverty, of unemployment. These are serious challenges. So it is crucial for us to watch economic growth, creation of jobs with an eye of the hawk.
Okay. Thank you very much. There is a proposal. In addition to the one that we said because remember we look at the same thing from different angles. In addition to the proposal that we get the researcher to research for us, which are those that warrant our immediate attention. We then add the two that are proposed by the honorable member. So honorable member, even these ones will be looked at, but then you know what, you must bring us a list. Maybe we should then guide them. How many do we want to, do we think we can focus on? Or should we say they must bring a list? And when that list is before us, we then determine whether we say 10 or 40. Actually, I'm trying to look at 40. What should be practical? Let's break the record. And you crazy. Not going to. You said no before you even start. Dr. Please. We are in a radical socio-economic transformation phase, which means everything will have to be radical. So, but it's okay, I'm just saying, let them bring the list. So, honorable member, Kabasa? Okay. Honorable member, Snukanyana?
Yes, thank you very much, honorable chair and honorable Kabasa. Not very much. I've just been keeping quiet because I'm trying to orientate myself in terms of today's session for the health crisis. But I just wanted to say that I think what Honorable Matopa raised in terms of the SFCs and planning units, you know, there were quite a number of things and there were quite a number of recommendations that were waking us up, arranging us on areas that need some focus. So I just wanted to actually add the second. I think whatever our report chapter is really looking at those recommendations, because I think they were laid in order for us to actually follow up on those particular departments, and of course keeping in mind some of the important, like the priority department that the honorable survey sorry, but I'm not saying that it shouldn't. It should be just about the number of departments, but we should look at what exactly it is that needs to be followed up. We may not have enough time that we have to do everything that needs to be done, but we will be able to identify those areas that are priorities. I have worked a lot with SCOPA, and you know SCOPA does afterwards, and it only gives the annual report and the report of the auditor general. That is where I've worked a lot, and the exact things afterwards.
Yeah, so thanks,
thank you for
all your input. Shall we then round up this discussion on this particular one? Can you please tell us to round up the discussion?
No. Thank you for that. Yeah, I like what you think. I want to make this up front. And I see that we're going to achieve a lot since you did this year. And I'm sure I have no reason to believe otherwise. But I think, yeah. I didn't say no just now. I will agree with what has come from Honorable Sikonyane. Sorry, apologies.
I don't
I won't. Yeah. Okay. But I think it's right. Let us, the researchers will do the job. Us, we give them an opportunity. And then let them come with a list, and then we can put, and I agree with you, not make you not a number. That's what the Honorable Member next week. But then when once you've got the list, we can put all 40. Priority in order priority, so that we will see where we get to. Because if we do 20, then it seems as though we're only interested in 20 departments. So perhaps that's how we should do it. Put them all down, because if we get them, we're so good as I believe under your leadership we'll get there, then maybe we will break the record. So I will support what SSC are making.
Okay. Remember, we're not saying
cutting
other departments, saying of the 40. Which one can we prioritize in the remaining period of the financial year? Remember, April, May, we are now actually approaching into June, which means the first quarter is over. Yeah? Supposed to start, am I right? Then we've got up till March. So, okay. So which ones do you want to prioritize in the first quarter, second quarter, until the end of the financial year? And then, as we encroach into the future, we then look at those that we will not have attended to, you know, but also prioritize. I'm sure you've got the request here, Dina. Are we representing well?
We are in agreement.
Okay.
I think that's the one area perhaps we could as well explore is if we want to look at all 40, but we prioritize 5, we may just as well want to say what are the specific issues that we want to deal with the remaining 35. And we simply write to them and say, we notice that this and that is not properly, is not going on correctly.
Okay.
And sort out the and come back in writing and report to us progress. It's that a possibility, and I'm saying perhaps we want to do that. But so that we prioritize as being critical, they must come to us and we must follow up all the time until they get in line.
Yes.
But the others we may, because no department is perfect. No department is perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. We might identify just one or two areas that we think are of concern and write to them and they come back and report to us.
Okay.
But when we do our overall report, we then report we then include them as part of our report, taking from their written permission. That's my suggestion.
Shall we then trust the researchers and working together with the content advisor with the best head as that's why they are sitting there. By now you have a deeper understanding on what our need is. And then you are then expected to respond to that. Agreed.
Yes, ma'am. You highlighted something very serious that we are going away for 2 months now. And what you said, Governor, is saying is very important. Why don't we write to the Department of Trade and Industry and say, when we come back in August, they should actually give us a list of people they have funded through their funding agencies, because they usually linger around until the end of the year, and then they tell you that we are out of funds. But if we say by the time we come back, we would like to see the list of projects that they have funded, maybe they will have some movement during the 2 months.
Agreed. Yes, agreed. I'm sure you can see the desperation of members. Which I think is aggravated by the fact that because of this democratic process that also needs to be set by the members, where we've been going away to do our community work for 2 months without seeing you. So this is the way that we would like to come back and find on the table. And as we come, we're not starting our question. We just, just put the food on the table and we eat. Okay. Please understand the desperation. All right. And then, yeah. And I know that you, so far, I have found that you really respond to issues raised by members. So we'll expect that. What else do you want them to do in our absence? Because we will be away. So that when we come there, we find it on our table. As a way of catching up. Do you have anything else? Honorable member.
When the Department of Health was here, they talk about the challenge that they find with this grant. That they are not getting cooperation from the province on the grant process. So we actually said on that, what did you say, Honorable Kabat? Did you? Yeah.
Shako, when we met them last year, we made the commitment that we called them together with the health committee, and I think we set the committee for finance together as well, so that we have one full day of meeting with the Department of Health. Because the issue of the grant, because the issue of provincial department, the thing is funny, to do one and then they do the
infrastructure.
That was the challenge of the department, particularly the DG was very effective on that issue that she needed. And I think we have not been able to pursue their commitment.
I'm sure our staff has been listening, content arriver and secretary. Now there's this other work which I want to regard as outstanding work. You promised when last year. This year we must catch up on the ground. Are we in agreement? So this is the other way that when we come back, we want to find on the table so that we can process. Now, you can hear already, researchers and screen advisor, you can hear health is also coming in there. And social development, they are granted. If they are getting the biggest chunk of the budget, we would want to see if that money is being properly used, because it is the biggest.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm just in passing, as members speak, and then, yeah, okay. No, that's fine. There's a hand. Honorable, okay. Yes. Please come in and then introduce you, Honorable Nirama.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's not specifically related to anything we've just discussed, but in general, I have had some discussion before with Honourable Shaw, Peter Crawley. When it comes to going on oversight visits, we do so with great fanfare. We arrive with a big delegation, the department or the institution we're visiting is prepared for us, and they expect us and their school paid on and all sorts of things. It's not achieving its purpose doing that, because they prepare for our visit and they show us what they want us to see. And I wanted to suggest, make a proposal for the future. If we decide to do oversight visits, perhaps we could break up into smaller groups for a start, to have my subcommittees to do oversight, and do it without announcing upfront that we're going to be visiting a particular institution. So we arrive there on a day and say, this is who we are, this is what we come for, who wants to see various things. But they don't get a chance to prepare and make everything look nice and super clean for us. Because otherwise it's just we're wasting our time.
Okay.
There's a proposal. Thank you.
There's another good proposal on the table. Now, if my recollection is correct, the parliament should have a public participation branch, which can do the research for us and come and present a report to us. And then we can then take a decision on which one we want to visit. So they go there without people knowing, just researching those site visits, and then come and make and apply maximum objectivity and come and make a recommendation to us. It will be up to us to take it or leave it. But we will look at this and then decide on which one we are going, so we can go. How is that, Honorable Member? Agreed. Okay, thank you very much. I think we're making progress. Honourable Member, my daughter, there are other issues now that need to be entertained.
Yes, I think I'm happy to cover that, because what I wanted to say, we once agreed in this coincidence, when we hold our meeting, we'll be going to the provinces. I was going to suggest that if we go to those provinces, we must first see like the performance of the provinces around the issue of the car. Maybe we see that there is a challenge, then we hold the meeting there, and then after that we go and see those concepts, like a way correctly indicating issue of infrastructure, social infrastructure, maybe department of health and so on. We go there, we hold the meeting in the provinces, because we must not just maybe always in the assembly or here in parliament. Maybe go outside so that we can be in a position to go and see what is happening. because those budgets that are being spent, we must see those projects. Even if it is not done in oversight, that's going for the community, because oversight also are limited for budget capability. We go there, we have to go and look at what is really on the ground. It is very common.
Okay, I think it's another good idea. Because it's something that you have already agreed upon. So we're only reflecting and checking on the feasibility of implementing. Alright? The other alternative could be, now, you're talking site visits. Remember, most of the areas must have been complete. Site visits on infrastructure development. Yeah? Now, I'm giving you a personal example. We could ask the case to go to Bumala and say this to the department, we request them to submit their infrastructure development plan and their implementation plan. Okay, let's say not the implementation plan of their infrastructure development. Yeah? Because that will have time frames, it will have the budget. Alright? And then and a progress report on that implementation. Then they give it to us, we study it. On our own, we decide to visit those that, according to that study, we think just go and see this one, go and see it. Because what happens, not only in Bumalang, everywhere, officials of late, they lie. They tell, for instance, committees, what committees want to hear. Ne? And then to validate that information, we'll then go and do a study to validate, which is where you're going to prove them wrong. In some cases where I have been in my previous life, where they presented this plan and the progress report, we took it, we divided, for instance, when we go there, we have to guide ourselves. We go, you know, with a format on what we want to achieve. And then you come back with the report. In some cases where they said they had been schools, we found out there were no schools. Yeah. Now I'm trying to say that's another way of approaching it. But it's fine, this is a matter, this is that which is under discussion. I'm sure we consolidate as we did with your advice. So we just in our way we're just brainstorming on possible solutions. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Shall we then move on to other issues? The other issue that we raised during the discussion is for Obama. I mean, we really wouldn't move this. Okay.
The discussion raised the question of the community budget. That's the area I wanted to alert us to.
Yeah.
Which we will have to look at.
Yeah.
And of course, that will be followed by processes for more public,
yeah,
etc. So, but I want to add this, when we, in fact, so far as I said before, we are allowed to talk with each year to go out and hold our meetings there.
Okay.
And then talk also to public participation. That's what that means.
Yeah. I like this issue, much as I wanted to stop it on zero, but it's a very important issue. In short, he says we must put our what? Put your mouth where your money is. I mean, that's English. Or we'll do whatever depending on the availability of resources. Or let us cut our dress, our clothes according to our size. I said it three times, but it's one of the yeah, no, that's fine. It's, when we plan, we also take the budget into consideration. You will tell us what still, how many we can do, and then because of the resources that we have. All right. Done. Are you allowing me to close now?
Yes. 30 seconds. In addition to that, you must also make sure that if the department is facilities arranged for us, they show that all compliance decisions are sorted out. If we can arrange our
place, that's what I'm saying. Any participation, we'll give them information. They must get information for other information for us, and then we go. Public participation. Okay. No, that's fine. Now, I'm happy because they started. And I'm so happy with the proposal that was made by Honorable Member McLaughlin, because this city was proposed by you, and I can see where you are going. He wanted us to all reflect and think, are we going all over, or are we, what is it that we can do and do well? Okay, no, that's fine. Now, the other issue that came from the discussion was information sharing, which was brought up by Honorable Member Kwabase, on findings, we will teach it on findings. Now, it is our findings, am I right? This one, I think, is easy. I'm sure we all agree. On our recommendations, we must then also forward to PCs. Just like the Central Treasury is doing. He forwards to us their findings and recommendations. And then we also, because we will then be strengthening whatever committee that comes before us, the recommendations thereof, have and write, we'll sign it off. Right to the chairperson of that committee to say, in our engagement, these were our findings and these are our recommendations with regard to this committee. However, that's probably the government. It is best. Yeah, okay. Working together, which is only doable. Okay. Now that's fine. Go ahead on that one. There was a proposal, then the officials must advise us on this one. On oversight, oversight on state-owned agencies. Remember, now we talk about infrastructure development. Now this is another area, state-owned agencies. And then, this was illustrated with PRASA, that was visited. I don't know how far you went with PRASA or with us, was their report and was their follow-up, because it should not be good enough that you just go and see PRASA and that's it. Because this is work. And we must have an outcome. And I'm not talking just outcome, quality outcome. So, state owned. I want to throw it to the members, because you know why you visited PRASA. You had a very good energy. There's something that you are sure you discovered or you observed when you visited PRASA. That makes you to want to go to other state owned agencies. Shall we then benefit from your wisdom on this one?
I think one of the reasons why we visited PRASA was because they had this. There was a 53 billion rand appropriated to them from National Treasury. Just besides their own funding. So I think that's what we want to do. I can't recall it was 53 or something like that. Just part of what we managed. So we wanted to do oversight on them. But I must add, especially that there is need to follow up, because as we left, other things flew up, as you are aware, which we were not aware of. The things were happening this time, and we only got those things from the media, that certain things were going on there. But also there is a very important issue that we had raised with them when they came to have a meeting with us. And I think that's the issue I'm sure he's alluding to as well for the economic development. Where we asked them how much of that money that was appropriated to them, what percentage of it was allocated to the academies and corporations. And there was another to that, there was a very sensitive debate around that issue. And that's why when we left the Department of Small Business Development, we raised that issue of their collaboration, their department's collaboration as well with the state on the enterprises, because they have responsibility towards development and developing SMEs and cooperatives. That's one. But perhaps what we might want to have a look at, to have a look at all the SOEs, check whether there is any state money that is being assigned, is allocated to them. But that gives us the reason then to want to go and do oversight on them, which one.
Okay.
But when we deal with the issue, the macro issue of economic development, economic growth, we don't necessarily have to look at whether they are assigned money. The fact of the matter is that they are state-owned enterprises, that we want to get them all into that pot when we deal with the issues of economic development, job creation, support for SMEs, etc. And so on. So there are two levels that we would want to have a look at.
Another good proposal on the table. Follow up on Prasa, because it will not be good enough to do a touch and go. Number two, also the researchers working together with the advisor, content advisor. You look at state-owned enterprises, and then also same as in the department, to identify those that warrant our immediate attention. And then we will take a decision based on it. Well researched, and I'm a very good researcher, I can assure you. Dr. P, if you don't know, let me tell you. Okay, no, that's fine. Honorable member, Shade Sichole.
I just want to add on the state-owned enterprises that when we had the Department of Trade and Industry, I think, we asked if they had their state-owned enterprises did have independent audit committee, and they said yes, and we said we would like to see the report of their audit committee. And they said they are available.
So what's the question?
No, we should follow up because we have the evidence. In order to see if an FOE or a private sector enterprise is functioning, you need to look at such reports as the report of the because they usually comment on the functionality of the institution.
Thank you very much for all the inputs on the state-owned enterprises, which is where we're going to strengthen, which is one of our strategic objectives, strengthen oversight. So this is another area of focus, state-owned enterprises. I will then move on to public participation. Came up very strong from our assessment report, but also it is one of our strategic objectives. This is a constitutional requirement. And besides, it is our core business as parliament. So as a smaller Nyanga parliament, we are supposed to indeed represent parliament well when it comes to this one. Shall we then discuss public participation? It came from the assessment. How do we strengthen? How do we reach out to the rural areas? Because so far, I know that we have used the in our public participation, we use our national newspaper by advertising our web. But also we must advertise this meeting, particularly the media life is not here, because all our meetings must be advertised, because that's where public participation starts. That's where we have to meet the requirements. It's only asking people to come or not to come, but ours is to advertise, invite them to come. That's the first part of our public participation. The second part, that's when after we have received the bill, we then have to advertise in all national papers. But what I wish communications and person was here to tell us whether we are also advertising in all 11 official languages. Or as they say, we are. Okay, so that's public participation. All right. And then using local newspapers, yes, but also community radio stations. What else needs to be added here? Because that is to inform the broader community using all the avenues that we have to say we have this, come, we are inviting you to come and participate. And then we also tell them their level of participation, making written submissions. Now what I have not heard from you is, after the written submissions, do we call those people who have made the written submissions to come and make oral submissions? Because that's another letter. So say, after written submissions, all those that have submitted, you invite all of them to come and make oral submissions, receive written to them, and then we engage with them, we interrogate their admissions, and then leave them to go. And then those individuals who, but that's the only way. There's no one who can come and apply to come and make an oral submission again without having submitted everything. But what about those who can't write? Because in your review, Honorable Member Shoppers for this who said, those that are not educated, how are they represented? You then said, maybe the other alternative we should during on our public hearing, in addition to the written submissions or to the adverts and written submissions, we should choose one or two rural areas depending on the availability of resources and go there and engage them, because there's no need they will come here because they don't have money and they don't know how to write and read, and there's no one who will read newspapers for them, da 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 da. So maybe have an addition to first center. If we can, maybe even if we can do two, we can start with one. We cannot. Excuse me, we'll go to this time, then arrive at the and where the consultants are, where we'll go. Alright? Are we then agreeing to add at least going out of this committee to one rural committee, because those never get attention. One rural attention. We will rotate also. If we go to one, say in Mpumalanga, next time we go to the Gogo, next time KZN, but we rotate, Eastern Cape, we rotate. One is going to an area, we will, until we cover all the line, then we start all over again. Because, yeah, how is that? Okay, so that's that. But also, you know, we can go, I was interviewed, how will those who are uneducated, who are not able to access newspapers, know about these processes? I'm not talking about the people before us, these processes, which means we also have a corresponding duty to educate. I don't know if we'll be going outside our scope of work, or should we request public participation to do that for us? I can see you want to talk to me. Please talk to me. What would be the best, because we must always go for the best way of dealing with the
Okay, thank you, Madam President. Good morning, Honourable Member. I think it's only shared in our deliberation yesterday. The idea was that we do have an office of public education in Parliament that assists different areas to educate communities out there on what Parliament does, what the processes in various aspects of legislation. So we can rope that office in and see how can that office be done with regard to that.
Once we have
work
for us, that means public hearing, okay? I think it sounds like you. What do you think, Honourable Member Manana?
No, it's fine.
It's a good idea. Alright, Honourable Member, you'd like to
know? Okay. No, I think it's fine, but over and out, I think once maybe, let's say we are going to a deep land area for our chaplain to talk on community and also, you know, hearing that it's coming from the chair of this committee. To say that we must go outside, not only to give it to the staff, but also the political head of this committee.
Okay, we take the point. Actually, we take the point. Yes, you may come in.
Okay, thank you, President. Thanks, Honorable Member. For the reaching out and public participation of communities, specifically, are we aiming for the MCBTS? Or
we can start there, because the next process that is need public hearing. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because we change a decision now, we can't postpone the implementation to next year.
Okay.
Next opportunity to implement. Okay, so we start there. And then here, I think it's slide 9, but you're talking about joint hearings with portfolio committees. Can you explain that? Now we're talking here in public hearings. Now joint hearings, is it with regard to, because it's under focus collaboration between committees of both houses. Are you talking about the portfolio committee, the select committee, the NCOP select committee, and us having joint sharing? Can you make me clever?
Oh, no, yes, yes. The practice has been, if we call in the Department of Public Works, for example, we would also invite the Portfolio Committee of Public Works, and, but we have not done it yet in the past, invite the Select Committee if possible. But what has happened is that in this instance, especially in this term, they have been unavailable due to the way the program was structured, the program of Parliament. But the practice is we do have joint hearings when to invite department.
Okay. All right. No, that's fine. I think it's clarified. Honourable Member Shope Sole.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to add that when we go to a province, it would be very good to actually involve the provincial committee and maybe. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. And the municipality or the municipality and the local municipality, so that we are still to be working together, all of us.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The suggestion to have joint meetings with the select committee is a good idea. But from past experience, there always seems to be a time constraint with regards to the meetings because of the volume of attendees at those meetings. So while it's a good idea, if we're going to continue with the, we need to make sure that we allocate more time to it, but that always seems to be the challenge.
Actually, Chair, this is me. I had my hand up earlier because I'm just taking advantage of the solidarity. Because I was going to say that, you know, at provincial level, because where I mustn't talk for all provinces, but at provincial level, it's very good machinery for public participation. I wanted to just check if there is a mechanism whereby you, the parliament works with the units within the province. Because public participation, like I will talk about my province, the machinery is great. So I'm just imagining there that if parliament has to go there, it would be very useful to actually talk to them. And they've got all the system in place to organize the community.
Any part of the process that you are going to do. Thank you, Honourable Chair. I just want to propose again the possibility. We get often the departments come and present to us when they do their submissions and their quarterly reports and so on. Perhaps it would be an idea if we as a committee could just advise the relevant portfolio committee when that's going to happen. So if that portfolio committee wanted to, that would send somebody to sit in on the meeting. After all, it is their own partner to support it. But often I find, when I talk to members in other portfolio committees, they've got no idea of the things that their department comes and presents to us. It's news to them if you show them the report, they've never seen this sort of thing. And I just thought, for sake of intergovernmental relationship, it might be better if they were also given a chance, not that they have to be here, but if they want to be here, that they could, we should just invite them to be part of those meetings when their departments come and present to us. Thank you.
I think that, as members, we have tried in the past to do that. The last time we had a meeting for the signal for the last week with the Department of Small Business Development, the Shepherd was there. I think it's what we must continue to do. But also, we must explore the issue that I raised earlier on, that of posting the information that we have received from the department, so that even if
Yeah. Even if the control committees are unable to attend, the information is that. Yes, it has accepted the information. I think the chairperson was also saying earlier on, it should be possible for her to communicate that kind of information, chairperson to chairperson of the whole committee. So we need just to facilitate all of that so that we are able to empower each other. Secondly, they also would like to feed information to this committee, so that our discussions are already in place. Honorable
Banana? You know, there's something that just comes to my mind. You know, last year when we were in the Department of Higher Education, where we indicated then that we would talk to the Minister of Finance, but eventually it did not. I think if there is such a thing, we need to select meetings with the Minister sometimes and raise some issues that come out from different issues that we need to have. Not just send it at court to the government and then just that they are going to implement cases without negation that happens.
Honorable Manan, my understanding you correctly that we need to have a formal meeting or formal meetings with the ministry itself on issues that as we pick up from the department and on issues as well which we want to get from the ministry. Okay. I think we got that. Right, the next issue that the chairperson was alerting us to as well is the issue on slide 15 on page 7, that last bullet on partnerships. International bodies, the partnership with the International Budget Partnership and Hope for SA is being quoted there. And one of the things that we have been able to do, particularly on issues relating to the public participation on the budget. But I think you were saying besides that, is there a way in which we can invite up international bodies or even local bodies that deal with issues of budget and budget implementation, economy, etc. and so on. Meet with them so that we can be better informed on this issue. I think that issue also, we might just want to draw in the issue of the study tour that we have spoken about earlier on. Just so that the whole issue of public international partnerships, including our own study tour, we take it all together. I'm not sure though whether if we want to invite the public body, we would be inviting them against the budget of the committee or say to them they must fund their travel here at the competition and all of that. So maybe that's the issue we must explore. Some of them would be well resourced and they might be able to do that. But I don't know whether all of them would agree to funding their own trip. So those are some of the things that we will explore. The issue of the international, or rather of the study tour, we had said that we need to appeal it up because we were told not before the election. We must explore that idea after the election. But again, we must be mindful of the fiscal constraints and cost-cutting measures that all of us need to abide by. Honorable Shopperson.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just looking at the period for real work that we have for this year. I would suggest that we consider that trip for next year, because we are going to spend 2 months now in the elections, and when we come back, we'll have no time. And at the end of the year, we would not have been effective in our work. And I'm afraid, you know, we are the community that must actually ignite economic growth in the country.
That we should, you know, invite other bodies to enrich our understanding of the work that we should do. We can't do without that. But remember, if the study was not just simply because we wanted to go out of the country, it came because of the conviction that all of us are new in this country. And we are not aware of any best practices elsewhere insofar as the work that we do is concerned. of course, it is cutter and it can't happen. But also, we can't go onto that issue when the outcome will become irrelevant, because we are closer to the 2019 election. So those are some of the considerations that we must think about.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, the 27th, actually the 27th, just about 2 years before the election. And the closer we get to 2019, the more irrelevant the trip is going to be. Thank you. Thank you. Look, I think what we need to do is do the processes, the necessary processes, and the necessary things. Let's get the feedback from the powers that be, if they allow it, try and stay on. It's okay. But I think the effort was very clear and it's still relevant. I'm simply saying that understand though that the closer we get to 2019, that stuff will be relevant. Because nobody knows in the first instance whether we are coming back to Parliament, and if we do, those of us who live, we are not going to employ them. So we're talking about, we are saying we are in agreement that we need to enrich our way with inviting relevant for the international conference. We are also saying it might be costly on our budget, so we'll ask those we invite to fund themselves when they come over here, if possible. But we are also saying there was the question of the study tour that came right at the start of the term. Because of the observation that none of us, in fact, all of us are new in the conversation, so, and none of us are really. None of us are aware of best practices elsewhere. with regard to issues relating to appropriation and so on. And we asked the researchers to look around. They found two countries, Germany and Sweden, I think, which had the best systems with regard to appropriation. But of course, at that time, there was a directive that nobody should go out of the country before the local government election. Now bringing back that issue, because we can then look at that issue post the election. But we are also saying we are midway into the lead parliament. The closer we get to the end of the lead parliament, the more relevant the letter is for me. But we must also, in pursuit of that target, we must also be mindful of the court commitments and what everybody else in government and parliament is expected to do. So we are saying let's do the necessary processes through the office of the House Secretary. If it is allowed, we go. If it is not allowed, we will not accept.
I'm sure you've checked out everything.
No,
that's fine. Can we then close this discussion on this? But then also, I take it that members must then identify those bodies, even if it's for an office, even if or for instance, Dr. King. I know there's a King 3 report. Come again? The commission. Our King Commission, yes. Can we see such points here at all? But one people who really add value to our work. So we also are asking you to look also around on locally, when I say locally, I'm talking in the country, who else can come and add value. Remember the this international trip is supposed to go there. But with regard to a value add, which other country do you overseas to come and also just visit South Africa? They have a good reason for visiting and also making a contribution. Locally, which body do you think you can invite? You know, sometimes they say, I see here you said mega innovation. Now having spoken about mega innovation, the other innovation would be, maybe you could also invite the former chief justice Come again?
They come.
They come just to come and talk to us on how does it see the money of this country being used to change the country to greater heights. It's just talking and talking daily. Now that's innovation. I'm just throwing it on the table. Remember, it was a decision. Mm-hmm. So, honorable member, you can then, yeah. Just look at, do you have also other people in mind that you think the researchers can look at? Honorable member, Mark. Kitchen? Yeah, McLaughlin. Do you have key persons who you think can come and add value to our work? But that's what we'll do. Come and sit in this meeting and talk to us before we start. Take the party of an opening remark. We give it. We speak to us. We include those values that have got monetary principles in them and, yeah.
Ma'am, the only person I would think of taking my hand to say is the Auditor General.
Who?
The Auditor General.
Or the Auditor General itself, yeah. Yeah. See, I'm happy because I'm sitting here with people who've got the same mind. People of the same mind. You just keep it at that. Okay. And then any other member? Honorable member? Joker, please?
I'm a bit cautious, rather.
Okay.
The right members like the Auditor General who I've just got the same views on the independence. I would look at independent people, and I know I might be controversial in making a statement like that, but I believe auditors are useful people, but I wouldn't believe the current auditor general might be, perhaps as my colleague said, the previous. He might be somebody...
Are you talking about November?
That's right, yeah. He might be somebody who now is asleep, so he might be...
The incumbent, the former, still the same, you know? Yeah, except that they have added this other baby to say, go and send it to the level. Honorable Manana, do you have a name of a person that you think is good with finances, accounting, who would also assist us? Is that my daughter? Babu? Babara? Especially? Honourable Member Shopee Stolen, a key person, we are on this partnership with International Budget Partnership. This code 4SA, I thought I would ask you, what is it? Code 4SA, what is it, Bob? What is it? Code 4SA.
Thank you, Jefferson. Thank you, honorable members. Code for SA is an NGO who's in the how to make technology available for social causes. So they would develop apps that assist teams and so on. So they have expertise in how to code these apps and program them. So the International Budget Partnership Institute approached them. Then how can you make this budget more accessible? How can you develop an application within website that can run? So what are you doing to develop technology that would be beneficial for our community?
Okay, alright. Now we all know. Alright, but thank you very much. Shall we then look at, we move on. In your presentation, I think you touched on, I just want to remember the slide on the procurement bill. Where is it? Is it going to come to us? So that we also plan for it during this financial year. If it will come to it, because they have said 6 months, in 6 months time. Now I don't know where did they start to count that 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 11, okay. So where is it? Where is the process? Is it going to come to us? So that you know that we also have a bill to consider.
Thank you, Chairperson. The public procurement deal would go to the Standing Committee of Finance.
To?
The Standing Committee of Finance.
Okay. It won't come to us.
Yes, it won't come to us. Yeah. But it's an important deal. That when we had a chief procurement officer here, they did indicate that they would like us to have a workshop immediately thereafter of for unexpected process and things. Because it changes the entire landscape of SDM within the public sector.
Okay. But remember, also in terms of joint meetings, I'm sure finance might want us, you know, who can jointly sit with them when they present, and then we then call them to come and check up so that we are familiar with it. Because whether we want or not, we then have to operate within this framework. Once it's passed. Mm. Okay. No, that's fine. Yes.
The reason why it goes to finance, it is because procurement, the Office of Procurement, is one of the bases of the Department of Finance.
Okay.
We are not having a base.
Yeah.
We are just like
ending.
We are our responsibility is the appropriation.
Okay.
So any other bill will go to finance.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for that added information. There was a proposal on the web page. Those who are technologically developed and me can please assist. And when he made this proposal, when Mr. Swabaza, Honorable Member Swabaza made this proposal, was saying, we could then on that web page reflect on, I think it's a recommendation on different departments. Our recommendation for different departments. So that webpage can also be used as a source of information for people who would want to use it, to use that information and enrich their debates, speeches, you name it. So, Honorable Member Snokwanyana? Okay, so that's right.
What is it? I'm throwing it to the yourself.
Okay.
It's two things. We can rely with the media officer of the committee and explore further channels within parliament which we can use to over and above what is normally there to try and re-elevate the work of the committee. That's the first thing. The second thing is, since already we do have an ongoing partnership with Code for FA that we talked about earlier as well, we can explore that as well. There's nothing wrong with being a website for this committee in particular, given the mandate, and then we actually speak to issues that cut across the entire public service. We can explore that, but I would put that with the media of the parliament to ensure that whatever we do is above board. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. So I'm sure it's kept up. In our next meeting, we will then check on the progress made. All right. Any other matter that you'd like to raise that came from the two presentations? Because I'm about to close this meeting now. None. All right. I'm sure you'll agree with me that we've had a very interesting and very important engagement, which has entrenched us in terms of what is expected of us and what on top of it do we need to do so that at the end of the day we also talk very formally on the work that we've done and also talk quality outcomes. Which means it was indeed necessary that we meet, and thank you so much for your wisdom, because I was guided by the meeting. The Honorable Member of the Honorable Member McLaughlin, yeah. I'll have to get to you. Alright? You have to lead up. Indeed, you raised the matter, and if the member did not make it by me, we were not going to have. That's why I say I was guided by your good heart. And thank you so much for your wisdom that has helped us today to sit here and consolidate on those letters that matter most to us. Alright? Well, in our engagement, we are now, we have a better insight on what are we. We are, this committee that we write is mandate for the Money Bills Act. I've decided it's too long, I also make mistakes when I try to read it out. So, I don't know, let's claim as Money Bills Act. Okay? And we also got reminded that this act gives us power to embark on both processes, which is to appropriate the money, and thereafter the committee follows the money. So simple and all that. Appropriate and then follows the money. Yeah, I've made a mistake. I thought I was closing. You know why in my mind I'm closing? Because I have to go to this other meeting. I'm now going to hang over one of the members of us. I'm now making mistakes because my mind is rushing to the next meeting. And that's why I have other members going to show up. Other members going up. Other members. As for me, thank you so much. We've had fruitful deliberation. I'm now heading over to Honorable Member Gwabanza. I have to attend another meeting that is called by the House Chair. So I have to attend that meeting. But thank you so much, and I wish you all of the best. You do remain work. So can I be excused? Yeah.
The other item that we would like to deal with are the minutes. Consideration and adoption of minutes. I think that's where we are.
Thank you for your indulgence. Before we consider the minutes, can I make another appeal? We see copies of the minutes in our emails, and now we come to the meeting to receive another copy of the minutes. And the matter was raised before, could we try and just try and ensure that we have a system whereby we only receive one copy of the minutes so that we ensure that we are ready to share.
Okay, I think that, yeah, the point is taken. I think that it was made sometime earlier. And hopefully members will remember all the time that once we receive these in our pigeon holes, we must come with those needs in the meeting. So that we don't create another problem. We solve this one, we then create another. Yes,
Honourable Madam. Some of us don't represent the TPO. We receive it with our gadgets. So we will suggest that we need not to put them in the TPO. Let's get it here and in our gadgets.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
We will accept that. Okay, all right. Let's go on to the tenth of May, morning of the 10th of May, and then we have the afternoon of the same day. We have the 11th, two of them, morning and mid morning, three. Morning, mid-morning, afternoon, and then 12 and up to the end. We start with the 10th, the morning of the 10th of May. First page. Page 2. Page 3. I shall refer the committee to paragraph 3.4.
the first line, the FFC was requested for the committee to identify the structural reform which were or are needed to stimulate, that which are needed to stimulate economic growth. And we end there. Okay? Which are needed to stimulate economic growth. And on the last line of the same paragraph, that is one key aspect of the question was the public service bargaining process, which needs to consider issues other than wages themselves and also includes productivity and time frame so that we don't have end time. Okay. Honorable Sheikh Madopa, you are ready to go ahead.
I think it's different.
All right, let's correct that. Okay. Mid morning you were there. My dog was there all the time. Let's just correct those two sets. The morning and mid morning. Yes, afternoon one. No, wait, wait. Yeah, on all three of them. Madopa was present and she's recorded as having apologized on the morning of the 10th. Right? So we correct that and we include her in the morning session. That's one. The mid, where's my mid morning? Oh yeah, the afternoon, she was also present and she recorded the serving up for the time. That's the test. Can we correct that? You were not present in the morning, but you were present in the afternoon, and you are recorded correct. Okay. Any other correction in the minutes? Can we accept that we will move adoption with those amendments?
Yes.
Anybody move? Move. Honorable Matukle and second up, Honorable Shopper. Sorry. Thank you. And the afternoon minute, we have corrected the first page now. Page 2. Page 4.
Labour. Honourable Magister.
Thank you, Honourable Acting Chairman. Just in 3.4,
yes.
The second last line reads financial officers, whereby there's knowledge sharing on how to improve. There's only used in a corporate speech. Here where we just, it's a proposed type, you should read there is knowledge sharing. Could you correct that, please?
3.4
on page 3, sir.
Yes.
The afternoon session. The last line, it should read there is, not theirs.
Unit of the 11th, the morning of the 11th. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. On 3.1, the fifth line from the end of the paragraph, we read, how is the completely free, fully owned by the beneficiary, by the free and fully owned by the beneficiary. And on 3.2, again, the fifth line from the end of, no, fifth line from the end, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, from the end of the paragraph. The sentence is that the SRC was requested to expatiate on why there was rapid increase in, or there is rapid increase in the disease and so on, if it is correct. Why the is to continue? Should we say why there was or there is?
Say
why? Should we use the perfect? Okay, why there was perfect increase. Alright? And the fourth line from that correction. That is inconvenient diversity scheme which also impacted on the number of children.
Yeah.
We got that. Agreed on that?
Yes.
Okay. 3.3, the third line, just up at the beginning of the third line, protected positive, not we removed that four. We just say who tested positive and then four comes after. Okay. Anything else? Page 4. Mover. Honorable Magister. Further. Honorable Magister.
With the amendment.
With the amendment.
network. And mid-morning of the 11th, stage one,
yes, thank you. Also on this one, I was present when the public service commissioner in the mind was present in. As he says, apologies.
page 4. Mobile adoption. Honorable Nokonyana, seconded by Honorable Madoba. Because we're always together. We like change of this committee. The minute of the 10th of May. Page 1, everybody recorded correctly. Second page. Page 3. The paragraph before summary of decision, the middle line, no, the second line towards the end thereof. Let us transport him to service providers which did not have valid authority. That's in fact not the cause of the information. Item 4.2, we should 5.2 now because of that area correction. Should read that the Department of Public Works submit a list of client departments which all is right. So define who are the client department is owned. Okay. Yes. That's page 5. Move up. Honorable Madoba move. Second up. Honorable Madoba with amendment. Correction. Alright. Then, and the last, no, second last. The page is first page,
page 2. Page 3. Again, on 3.2, the third line. The department reported that it does not have a transversal mandate. And then I suggest to put a push up there, that however, comma, utilizes implementing agents to enter into sort of the to do that little correction there. Are we okay? Nice. Page 4. Move up for adoption. Honorable Manana, seconder. Honorable Shoppers, seconder. Okay. Who was on this? She was. Right. The last minute of the 17th. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Now you know the conversation is right, move up for the two. Honorable Vic.
Before you do that, back to page 2, the just above number 3, that the RQC, it looks like that where I believe the R should be a small R.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry. Just above number 3,
yeah.
Not that the second line above that, Dr. Madloka, it's got the RQC, it looks like that 4. And the small R. You see, that's my friend.
Yeah.
Honorable Manana. Honorable members, we're done with the minute. The chair having had already expressed the closing remarks. Honorable Manana.
The 10th in the afternoon where the meeting with the Department of Human Settlement. And in one of the decisions, they indicated that they will provide us with a report before we go to the committee to achieve it. would like the staff to make a photo up before Thursday. Because on Thursday we are closing.
Yeah, the Greek has moved so fast. Yeah. Yes, you wait.
We've already addressed the department.
You.
We'll just follow up.
Okay. Alright. Thank you very much. Okay. Honorable members, I think we are done. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.